are you guilty? Guilty as charged. Amen. On 10 September 2025, thousands gathered at the Utah Valley University in America to hear Charlie Kirk speak. He boldly stood in front of his accusers to reason with them, to expose their sin, and to point them to Christ. But instead of hearing grace, they felt attacked. And instead of hearing what he had to say, they killed him. Well, this event reminds us of a sobering truth. The world hates God's truth. They hate those who follow him and who faithfully proclaim it. Well, nearly 2,000 years ago, Paul faced the same hostility. In Acts 22, he stands accused before a furious crowd of Jews. They misunderstood his message, rejected his witness, and tried to kill him. Their pride blinded them to the grace of God and the truth of the gospel. But in response, Paul does something remarkable. Instead of responding in anger and retaliation, he uses this moment to testify to the grace that saved him and charged him with a new purpose. First, in verses 1 to 5, Paul stands accused before the Jews, but he tells them who he was. He used to be one of them and a Pharisee of note. Then in verses 6 to 10, how Christ miraculously met him on the road to Damascus and how this changed him. And in verses 11 to 16, he says it is God who sent him on a new mission to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. In verses 17 and 18, Paul is in Jerusalem, but God tells him that he's not safe, so he must flee. However, Paul says in verses 90 to 21 that he resisted God's command. He thought that the evidence of his conversion was a strong and compelling case. Nevertheless, God tells him, they will not receive your testimony regarding me. So he tells him to flee Jerusalem. In verses 22 and 23, the verdict is in. Paul is guilty. And the Jews wanted him dead. Verses 24 to 30 mark the start of a fascinating journey that Paul was about to embark on. In these verses, he tells the Roman centurion that he himself is a Roman citizen. Therefore, it is illegal for them to scourge him or even to bind him as they already did. And these verses mark the beginning of Paul's journey to Rome. Now, I will not explain all 30 verses. It will be a very long sermon and, quite frankly, an information overload. But I need you to know exactly what is going on in Acts 22. So as we study Acts 22 tonight, do we stand accused? Let the world present its evidence against us. If they were to examine our life, would the evidence show that we stand with the crowd, filled with pride and anger? Or will the evidence show that we are truly saved by God, that His grace lives in us? Gracious and Heavenly Father, let your Spirit reveal the evidence of our hearts today as we come face to face with your word. Make us see whether we stand guilty before this world, guilty of the gospel, guilty of grace and love. But Lord, even as we examine the evidence of this in our hearts, we would be liars to say that pride also doesn't live in us. Its roots are everywhere around us and even in us. So we ask for your grace to shine upon us and to help us deny our pride and pick up our cross of grace. Amen. Or turn with me to Acts chapter 22 and verse 1. Acts chapter 22 and verse 1. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept hold of more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you all are today. I persecuted this way to death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priests bear me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to travel to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus about noon, suddenly a great light shone from heaven around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hands of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me and stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at the same hour, I looked up at him. And then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in a temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. And they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, he's not fit to live. Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into to the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging, so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, Take care of what you do, for this man is a Roman. And then the commander came and said to him, Tell me, are you a Roman? And he said, Yes. The commander answered, With a large sum I obtained this citizenship. But Paul said, I was born a citizen. Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman and because he bound him. The next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. In summary, Paul is guilty. He tells his story honestly. He honors their heritage. He speaks their language. And he tells them that Jesus has met him, saved him, and sent him on mission. Now, humanly speaking, you would think a testimony like that should soften hearts. In fact, in verses 19 and 20, it is precisely what Paul thought would happen. But the moment he says, God sent him to the Gentiles, the passage says, they explode, shouting, away with such a fellow from the earth. He's not fit to live. Verses 21 to 23 are helpful to answer the question, are you guilty? Guilty of standing with the crowd, filled with pride and anger. The Jews found Paul guilty of testifying to the gospel that saved him. The gospel that showed him grace enraged them. Even as he tells them in verses 1 to 5 that he used to be just as guilty as they are. Even as he says in verse 8 that Jesus said he was guilty, they will not listen to him. This is not an Acts 22 problem. It is not an American problem as in my illustration. It has been the reality of every generation that professes Christ in a world that hates him. Look with me at Acts 22, verse 21. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. And they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. The Jews' pride made it impossible to accept Gentiles as equals. But they failed to realize that their hatred wasn't against Paul. It wasn't against the Gentiles. It was against the very God they say they love. And just like them, many churchgoers today are standing among the crowd, very religious on the outside, but filled with poison on the inside. Oh, with their lips they worship God. Their theology is sharp as nails, but their hearts filled with poisonous pride and anger. Our country proclaims peace and harmony to the world, but the people are filled with hate and despise one another. For years, we have been guilty of treating people differently based on the color of their skin, even in church. This is not a past political issue. It is a current heart issue. Oh, but pride hides behind many masks. So I'll name a few. First, people are looked down upon because they are poor or less educated. Yet James 2 verse 4 tells us that this kind of partiality is evil. Second, employers are treated inhumanely. You see, employers have forgotten that they themselves have a master. Third, women are treated as worthless subordinates. Yet Galatians 3 verse 28 tells us there is no Jew nor Greek. There is no free nor slave. There is no male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. And if you are Abraham's seed, you are heirs according to the promise. 4. When the elders correct a member, their pride is hurt. Instead of humbly listening to them, they rebel in anger. Hebrews 13 verse 17 says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls." A while ago, a member of a church got drunk at a social gathering. And another member saw this and in love and in true concern went to report it to the elders. It brought such disrepute on the church and on the gospel. When the elders confronted him, instead of hearing grace, he responded in anger, even threatening to punch the member who reported it to the elders. You see, the pride of this member's heart was now on full display, causing division to creep into the church and hurt people. This is what happens when pride meets the truth of the gospel. It doesn't repent. It rages. It does not show love. It rejects. It defends itself. The gospel that showed us a way more precious than silver or gold enrages the prideful heart. They will fight for their rights. They will even compromise what they have been taught. Beloved, we must examine ourselves today. Ask yourself, does the gospel humble you and cause you to surrender yourself to God? Or does it expose you that you are standing with the crowd shouting, "Away with such a fellow from the earth. He's not fit to live." Prayerfully search your heart to see if the glory of Christ and the love of God are truly your treasure. 1 John 2 verse 15 warns us, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." Do not let this be your testimony. Instead, like verse 16 says, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22 doesn't just show us the hatred of the world. It also reminds us of the grace of Christ. The reason Paul was no longer standing with the crowd as a Pharisee, as a persecutor condemning Christians, is because Jesus met him and saved him. Verses 6 to 10 and 12 to 16 helps answer the question further. Are you guilty? Guilty of the grace of God living in you? Look with me at verse 6. "Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' So I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.'" Verse 14. "Then he said, 'The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be a witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Therefore, if Christ showed you grace, be like him and show grace even to those who shout you down and accuse you because you do what is right. The same Christ whom this world hates is the one who loved his enemies, saved his persecutors, and turned his murderers into missionaries. This is the grace that reached Paul, that reaches us. that must reach others through us. Before Paul ever faced an angry crowd, he was the angry crowd. In verse 4, he persecuted this way to death. In verse 19, he imprisoned and beat believers. In verse 20, he consented to the murder of Stephen. You see, before Christ revealed his grace to Paul's heart, Paul looked like the crowd. Paul smelled like the crowd, because Paul was the crowd. Yet Romans 5, verse 8 is such an encouragement to us. God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. This love of God took residence in Paul's heart, and Paul had a new charge against him. Look at verse 14. It says, God chose Paul. The God of our fathers has chosen you. Then God revealed his will, that you should know his will. And in verse 15, the Holy Spirit brought Paul to a crisis of belief, and in faith, Paul surrendered to serving God's agenda. You will be his witness to all men. This is the man who once raged against Christ, but is now a trophy of Christ's grace. Paul would later say in 1 Timothy 1 verse 13, I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy. And the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. For this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him. Does this explode out of your heart? Paul has experienced the grace of God, therefore he can no longer respond like the crowd, like he used to. What about you? What about you? When they wrongly accused him, dragged him out of the synagogue and beat him close to death, he didn't curse them. He asked the Roman commander permission to speak to them and patiently, lovingly shared the evidence of Christ's grace that reached for him. He is displaying the transforming power of the gospel at work in him. This was his offense. This made him guilty as charged. What about you? Matthew 5, verse 44 charges us to love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Friends, like it or not, we were present in that crowd shouting to Pilate, crucify him! Crucify him! We were there. But Christ met us and saved us. It is his amazing grace that compels us to be gracious, even to our enemies. When pride meets the truth, pride rages. It divides and it destroys. But when a sinner meets grace, it humbles, it restores, and it transforms a persecutor into a son of God. Imagine walking into a Christian gathering after Paul's conversion. Some of the believers there probably had friends or family who were dragged out and beaten by his orders. everything in them must have yelled, "This man ruined my life. How can I trust him?" Yet if you appreciate that the grace of God lives in Paul and in you, then you're beautifully compelled to receive him, to love him. This is not a natural response. It is the transforming power of God working in us, bringing grace to our hearts. And we see this happening in churches today. When believers fall into sin and the elders go to them, not to break them down, but to restore them. As they repent, the church walks with them and prays with them. In grace, they receive the correction, and in grace, the church walks with them. This is not a weakness. It is not a compromise. It is the grace of Christ at work in us. We must demonstrate grace even to those who attack us, who reject us. Are you guilty of this? Christ did not rage against us when we were lost. He saved us. He saw our pride. He saw our anger. He saw our secret sin. And he did not say, "Away with such a fellow." Instead, he said, "Father, forgive them." If you truly not only confess Christ, but you possess Christ, His grace cannot just flow to you. It must flow through you. There are many who profess Him as Savior, but they do not possess Him as Savior. What happens when you disagree with someone? Do you respond like the crowd or like Christ? When a brother or sister is caught in sin, do you use it to gossip or to gently restore? When you are corrected by the elders, does pride make you rage or does grace help you repent? Are you known as someone who keeps score or as someone who forgives? Ephesians 4 verse 31 commands us, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." Why do this? Why show grace? Because verse 32 ends, "Even as God in Christ forgave you." Paul could stand before that crowd without hatred in his heart because Jesus once stood before a crowd like it. Christ's love for the lost lived in Paul's heart. Christ demonstrated this by taking their hatred on his own body to the cross. We deserved God's wrath. The wrath Paul deserved fell on Christ. The wrath we deserve fell on Christ. Friends, be guilty. Be guilty, guilty, guilty of the grace of Christ. Is there sufficient evidence in your lifestyle, your conversations, your public prayer life, in your service and in your sacrifice? Are you guilty? May I say there's absolutely no verdict, innocent verdict. What are you guilty of? Look at the evidence in your heart. Where are you on this Pauline journey? Are you standing with the crowd, with Saul in the crowd, guilty before Christ, guilty of anger and pride and selfishness? Or are you standing with Paul in the court of redemption, guilty for Christ, guilty of receiving and giving grace. Beloved, the gospel doesn't just expose the world's hatred. It exposes our own hearts and then offers us grace. The question is not only, does the world hate Christ? We know the answer is yes. And may the grace of God search their conscience. But the question is also, has Christ's grace truly changed you? Make your guilty verdict visible. Shine the light living in you. And now, what are you waiting for? Live, speak, serve, and study Christ. Give this world enough ammo to make you charged guilty. Gracious Savior, it is by your grace that we are a chosen people, hated for the gospel, redeemed by grace. Let this charge stand against us, guilty of the grace of God. Let this light of your grace take residence in us and shine for others. Amen. Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.